Now, Annie, what would you like to do first?
The windows, then the floors. That way, if I drip...
No, Annie, you don't understand. You don't have to do any cleaning while you're here with us.
I won't? How am I going to earn my key?
Why, you're our guest, Annie.
Cecile will pick out all your clothes.
Blue is her best color. No, red, I think.
Your bath is drawn by Mrs. Greer.
Soap. No bubbles, I think.
Annette comes in to make your bed.
Silk? No, the satin sheets, I think.
I think I'm gonna like it here.
There are two movies that I watched over and over and over again as a child. First one, The Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan. Classic movie. Hallie Parker, Annie James rekindle their long-lost sisterhood as twins at a camp, scheme a plan to go back and get their parents to reunite, fall in love, and everyone ends and it's happily ever after, right? Second movie that I watched over and over again as a child, 300 times plus, I'm not kidding, that is not a lie, is Annie. Who has actually seen this movie? Wait, really? Oh, that is amazing. So this is one of my favorite movies. If you have not seen it, there is an orphan girl named Annie. She grows up in an orphanage, and she is under the guardianship of this mean lady named Mrs. Hannigan. She is terrible. She is a terrible human being. And she's in this orphanage, and she has to clean. She has no idea what it's like to have a family, a mom and a dad. And then one day, she walks. She's cleaning. And then all of a sudden, this billionaire walks into this orphanage, Mr. Warbucks. And he adopts Annie into his home, right? And so he walks in, and what I just showed you is this clip, the first time that she enters into this mansion. She has never experienced anything like this ever before. And as you can tell, she doesn't really know what to do. They're like, Annie, what do you want to do? We can go play soccer. We can go play tennis. We can go to the pool. All of it is yours. And she says, well, I guess I'll start cleaning, or I'll clean the windows. I'll clean the floor next. And they're like, no, you don't have to do that. This is your home now. You don't have to do that. And so Annie, for the first time, realized that she was a daughter, that she was no longer an orphan, but that she was a child. And not only a child, but she was a child of a billionaire, that everything that she could ever want was at her fingertips. And there's an identity change in her. And throughout the movie, you can see her face light up in the way that she acts and the things that she does because she knows who her father is. And today, we're going to be finishing up Galatians. Or not finishing it up, but we're going to continue in Galatians. And so I'm going to give you some time to turn there. We'll be in Galatians 3, 23, 4 through 7. And while you're turning there, it's been impressed on my heart. I've been praying for you guys that there are some people in this room who know the Lord, a lot of you. And you could look at me and you could say, yeah, Tori, I know Jesus. I asked him into my heart when I was really young, and I've been walking with him, and I'm following him, and I know him. And today I pray that you are reminded of who you are in God and what that means. And Paul's going to remind you of that. And then there are some of you today, I feel in this room, that have never met Jesus before. You've never encountered him. Maybe your family always drags you to church, or maybe this is your first time to church. And I want to say that you're not here by accident. You see, I stood here yesterday, and I prayed over every single seat in this room. And I don't believe that I serve a God of coincidence. And so you are sitting where you are today for a reason and for a purpose. And the God of the universe Your Heavenly Father wants to speak something to you this morning. And so I ask that you would lean in and you would press into what God has for you. It'll be easy to look at your phone. It'll be easy to turn to your neighbor. It'll be easy to disconnect. But I promise you that there is a word for you today. And so as we dive into scripture, I want you to see that faith in Jesus takes you from a slave to a son. We're going to camp out in 4:7, Galatians 4:7. So if you are into highlighting and marking up your Bible, then I want you to highlight, circle, do all of the things. Place stickers around this verse right here, because this is the summary of all that Paul has been talking about. And there are three truths. So if you're taking notes, there are three truths that Paul wants you to get as a follower of Jesus that are true. One, that you are no longer a slave. Two, that you are a son and daughter of God. And three, if you are a son and daughter of God, then you are an heir. And Paul, from verse 23 to 4:7, is going to show us that in his word. And so let's start. In verse 23, he says, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith." Now you guys have heard this over and over again. We have talked about the law and what the law did to us. But as I read this, there are two words that stick out to me. Imprisoned, held captive, and imprisoned. What does it mean to be held captive? To be held captive, if you are a captive, it means that you are someone who has been captured and cannot escape. Think about a prison cell. You've been captured and you cannot escape from that. So Paul is saying, the law did that to us. The law captured us and we were held captive under the law, imprisoned and could not escape on our own accord. There was nothing that you could do to exit that jail cell. He goes on, he said, the law was our guardian until Christ came. He says, the law protected us. It shielded us and it was our guardian. It took care of us until Jesus came. So if I can sum up the law in one thing, because I know Caleb and Thomas and Hunter and Abby and everyone has talked about it, that the law showed us our sin and led us towards Jesus. Someone said, what's the law to you? The law showed us our sin and pointed us towards Jesus. So Paul says, you are no longer a slave to the law. You are no longer a slave to this striving, needing to perform, trying to live up to the standards that God has for you. Verse 25 through 27, as he finishes out chapter 3, he's going to make this really clear. And this is good news. And so if you're into highlighting, highlight verse 25 and 26, because you're going to see the word but in here a lot, because Paul's reminding us of where we were, and he's going to say, but here's some good news, okay? And this is what he's doing here. He's saying, but now that faith has come, it's Jesus, we are no longer under a guardian. We're no longer under the law. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. He goes on, he said, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Your identity has changed. So right here, Paul is saying, you are no longer under the law. You're no longer imprisoned. You're no longer held captive. In fact, Christ came to free you from that so that you're no longer a slave, but a son of God. And he destroys all barriers here. He says, you have a new identity. You have put on Christ. And not only that, you are all one in him. You have been unified and brought into a family. That is who you are. Faith in Jesus means that we are no longer slaves. Faith in Jesus means that we are no longer slaves. I don't know what you've been striving for or what you feel weighed down by, that you have to perform or that you have to be a certain way in order to earn God's love, but you don't have to. And Paul's reminding you of that here. He goes on in chapter 4. And he's going to show us that we are no longer a slave, but a son. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 says, I mean that the heir has as long as he is a child is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. He's giving us another example, that there is an inheritance and there we had a guardian until the coming of Jesus, taking care of us and guarding us until the promise. He says, in the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, that's Mary, under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. We were held captive under the law, but God sent Jesus to redeem those that were under the law so that we might be adopted sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Now, what does it mean to receive adoption as sons? Adoption is super close to my heart. And as I've been prepping this talk, the Lord has been so kind to me to place people in my life that have either considered adoption, have been adopted, or are going to adopt. And I've been reminded that it is the gospel, and it is God's heart that he adopted us. And so the other day, I called my cousin Katie. She's a lawyer in Fayetteville, and she works with children who are in situations where they need to be adopted. And I just said, hey, Katie, what, will you just tell me, remind me what the adoption process is and how a child can get adopted and what that means for them to be adopted. And she said, oh, of course, sure. Let me walk you through this. And she gave me this list. She said, in order for a child to be adopted, they have to be a part of a broken family. There has to be brokenness and hurt in a family that's not good for them. They are then taken out of this family and put under a guardianship, knowing that it's temporary, but a guardianship, maybe that's a grandparent or a foster family, and they're put under this guardianship. A family decides to adopt them. There's a trial that needs to take place. Then there's a judge who has to make a decision of whether that child needs to be adopted or not. When that decision is made, the judge signs a decree, an adoption decree, that basically changes that child's name to where they are no longer children of this family, but children of this family. And that's what it says on their birth certificate. And it is signed, and it is put in the courthouse forever. And they're adopted into a new family. And as she's talking, she's coming from a completely legal standpoint. And I was like, Katie, that is the gospel. Like, that is what Jesus did for us. That is what God did for us. And so to make it very clear for you, I made a picture. Ephesians 2 says that we were children of wrath, dead in our trespasses and our transgressions, separated from God, that we were a part of a broken family. We were in a mess, in an absolute mess. That God saw that, and he sent the law as a guardian over us to protect us and to point us towards him, to show us that we are in need of a Savior, that we are in need of a Savior. And he looked down, and he said, I choose you. I want you as my child. And he sent Jesus. And Jesus went on trial. He was mocked, and he was ridiculed. And he hung on a cross, and the decision was final. And his blood now covers you, and we are no longer children of wrath, but we are children of God. And he signed the decree. He signed the adoption decree. He put his spirit on our hearts, and he said, you are mine forever. Our name is written in the house of God forever, and we get to be with him forever. It is a beautiful picture that we are sons and daughters of God. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, I need you to know that you are not just forgiven. You're not just forgiven. The slate's not just wiped clean and you're made right, but that you are adopted children of God. And you can look at the Father as your Heavenly Father, that He is for you and that He loves you. And as I was praying through this, the Lord brought to mind that this might be hard for some people. It might be hard for you to sit here and hear that God is your Father, because maybe you've never experienced what a real father is like. I don't know what your home life looks like or where you came from, but I have a feeling that a lot of you have some frustrations towards your father. And so you're like, Tori, I don't want to look at God as my father. I don't see him like that, because my dad hasn't really been there for me. He's not cheering me on the sidelines. He's not, he wasn't there throughout my childhood. He didn't watch me grow up. And I need to tell you right now that the Lord wants you to hear, if that's you, that he is your father. And that he loves you, and that he is for you, and that he will never leave you. And that all of those things that you want in a dad, and all of those things that you want in a father, he is that and more. And he wants to show you that. And I'm praying that today, for the first time, you realize that there is a Father in heaven who loves you and is for you and is fighting on your behalf. Paul goes on in verse 6 and he says, "And because you are sons of God, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And it just gets better with the Lord, because not only are you a son, but you are an heir. What does it mean to be an heir? What does it mean to be an heir through God? What do we get when we are sons and daughters of God? Let me put this in perspective for you. I think it does a pretty good job. I'm about to show you something. Girls, brace yourself. It's a really cute baby. That is Prince George. Okay, look at him. Do you think he's ever had a bad day in his life? No. Look at him. This is Prince George. His dad, Prince William, Duke of Cambridge. His mom, Queen Elizabeth. Where they live, Buckingham Palace. Okay? Prince George, although he might not understand it now, knows that because of who his dad is, he will eventually be the King of England. Because of his dad, he will eventually be the king, right? And so no matter what happens in his life, he has this confidence and assurance that no matter what, I know who my dad is, and I know that I will be king someday, right? And I think God wants to remind us of that today. And so when he says you're an heir, that means that everything that God has, Ephesians 3 talks about it, every spiritual blessing that God has for you as children, he gives to you. 1 Peter says that in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth, a new identity, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And so not only are we sons of God, not only have we been brought from death to life, have we been given a new identity, but he says there is a kingdom awaiting for you that I have in heaven for you. And so as an heir, we get to be with God forever. That is a promise that God has for his children. Not only do we get to be with God forever, but he gives us his Spirit. He gives us a Spirit as a promise of our inheritance. He says, hey, you get to be with me forever. Not only that, but I want to be with you forever. I'm not going to leave you in this world alone. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit bears witness. The Spirit is a reminder to us that we are children of God. If you have claimed faith in Jesus Christ, his Spirit is inside of you. And it is a seal and a reminder of whose you are. That's good news. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says that, and who has also, he has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. That he gave us his spirit as a guarantee, as an assurance that you are my child. You are my child. That I don't care where you've been or what you've done or what mistakes that have happened or anything else, whoever said anything to you, it does not matter. You are my child. Here is my spirit. It is a guarantee. Paul says, and because you are sons of God, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Paul is trying to end this message by telling you that there is an intimacy and a love that God has for you that is unexplainable. This word Abba is an Aramaic phrase that means daddy. It means father. This most intimate form of father that you could say. And so the spirit inside of us, no matter what is happening to us in this world, no matter what chaos is going around in this world, we have a spirit inside of us that cries out to our dad and our father, and he says, I am with you. Hold on just a little bit longer. I have a home prepared for you in heaven. Faith in Jesus takes you from a slave to a son. Faith in Jesus takes you from a slave to a son. Okay, I want you to close your Bibles and I'll have a moment really fast with you of what the Lord has taught me. I have a friend who I recently was talking to who has been adopted. And I just asked her, I said, hey, was it always easy for you to understand what it was like to be in a new family? When they brought you back over from Ukraine, did you understand kind of what it was like to be in this new family? And she said, no, it was really hard for me. And she was like, I remember sitting at the table, and my new parents would bring me food, and they would sit it before me, and she was like, and I would eat, and as I slowly ate, in between that, I would pull food aside, and I would put it in my pocket for later. And she said, I would just, at the orphanage I was at, sometimes we didn't have enough food, and sometimes I would have to save some food for later. And she was like, and so I started doing that with my new family, because that's all I'd ever known. That's all I'd ever known. That was the family, the orphanage that I was a part of. And she said, and one day my dad, he saw what I was doing, and he got down and he kneeled down and he looked me in the eyes and he said, honey, you don't have to do that. You don't have to put your food away and save it. Your mom and I will always provide for you. You don't have to worry about not having things. You're a part of this family now. And she said, year after year, it took for her to understand and learn what it was like to be a part of a new family. And I think that that is so true of us. That as children of God, we can claim to know Jesus. We can know that he is our father. But I want to encourage you that it takes time to learn what it's like to be in a new family. But it doesn't change the fact that you are a part of a new family. And she said, she told me this, and I thought it was so beautiful, and I want to close on it, that she used to sit on her dad's lap and ask him if he would just tell her the story again. How did you adopt me? Why did you choose me? And he would tell her the story again and again, because she said, I needed to be reminded in my heart that I was adopted. That I was no longer an orphan, but that I was part of a new family. And so my encouragement and my prayer for you guys today is that you would be reminded that you are part of a new family. a new family in God. And that as you study his word and as you seek him and as your spirit cries out to him, you learn what it looks like to be a part of this new family. That you are no longer a slave to past addictions and things that held you captive, but that you are a child of God and that you have a Father in heaven who looked down and said, I choose you. I want you. And so if you need to be reminded today of that story again and again, ask the Lord to remind you of what he did for you. Say, Father, tell me this story again. I need to hear it because it is so easy for me to drift. Remind me, Lord, of what you did for me. And he will. Let's pray. Father, you are good. Lord, you are faithful and you're our protector. God, I repent of my forgetfulness, Lord, of what you did on the cross for me. I forget that sometimes I don't treat you as a father, but I treat you as a judge. And that I always have to measure up to some standard that you have for me. God, and I pray today over these students that if they feel in the same place that I have felt and that I feel so often, that they would remember, God, what you did. God, that you are our Father. And so as we sing this song, God, that we are no longer slaves to fear, to anxiety, to depression. God, to the approval of others. God, may you remind us of your power and your strength. And God, may you wrap your arms around us. We love you. It's in your precious name we pray.